was going to speak, so I waited to talk about Lois, because I can't talk about Lois without talking about Jim. You know, God doesn't do anything wrong. When he puts two people together, them two, just like with him, become one spirit. And her and Jim were one. And he was probably, I'm not stepping on no toes here, but he was probably the most influential person of an encourager. He would always encourage people. I mean, this is a man that went through dialysis, went through it. God conquered it with him. And then you know what he spent his time doing after that? Going to the place, the dialysis place, to encourage those that were going through it. He said, God did something for me. He'll do it for you. That's what we're supposed to do. Tell people of the goodness of God. Amen. Well, today God has given me a word for you. And matter of fact, I told Margaret, she wanted to know what the title was. And I said it was a word from the Lord or word from God. Before I bring the word to you, I heard it already this morning in Sunday school. It was one of the first things that, Kathy, that you said. And I was sitting there because God deals in witnesses. He says something to one, and then you'll hear it from another, and then another. God loves doing that. I hope we have our ears on, the ears of our understanding being enlightened by the Holy Spirit to encourage us this morning. If you come to hear the word of the Lord, you're going to hear it. God does, his word does not return void. I might as well tell you. That word is Romans, the 8th chapter, the very first verse. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, a lot of people don't read that last part. They'll say, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And they stop right there. But I want to tell you something. God revealed this word to me, I'm thinking how many years ago it was, 33 years ago. 40 years ago, my mom was getting ready to leave this world as we know it. And she asked me that morning if I would take care of my older brother. And I said, yes, I will. Now, Mom had raised my brother to where whatever he needed, she took care of it. She took care of his needs. Well, when she passed, I took it upon myself to help him grow up. My brother was quite a bit older than me. So one of the first things I did was get him a job. He hadn't worked in a bunch of years. And then I got him a place to live on his own. Well, he had done that for, I was going to say 5-6 years. Well, he finally rang the doorbell at the house, and he had a suitcase with him. So I knew things were about ready to change. And he said, can I come home? I said, well, sure. And before he got through the door, he said, I believe God has brought me home to die. And I go, well, I'm going to take care of that too. So what God does, he gives you a project. I'm going to say it's a project. But in the terms that God's dealt with me over the years, it's an opportunity. It's not a trial, it's an opportunity. Well, I'll tell you what, when God gives you something to do, we need to step up to the plate and do whatever he tells us to do. Because he's getting ready to bless somebody. At the time, we don't know it's actually you that he's getting ready to bless. But God wants to bless you this day, if you'll hear this word. So this is the word that the Holy Spirit showed me that my brother needed. So I asked work. I was working day shift. Can I go to the nights? Because my brother is living with me. And I see that he has a lot of fear in him, a fear of dying. And the Holy Spirit showed me he was condemned. The church that he had went to, instead of giving him hope, condemned him. Well, you know what? That's when God gave me this word. The 8th chapter of Romans, the very first verse. And he said, I want you to give that to your brother every day. So I began giving it to him every day. Well, I gave it to him every day for about 3 weeks. And you got to realize, because of the condition my brother was in, he didn't smile much. But I walked in his room one morning. He could have lit up a room. I said, what are you smiling about? I said, what are you smiling about? And he looked at me and he stood up and he quoted this scripture back to me, raised his hands and said, I'm free. Now tell me that's not what God's Spirit does for you. That's what his words intended to set the captives free. And he quoted that back to me. I cried. Thank you, Lord. You know, sometimes you hear something more than once. That's not an accident. God's trying to reveal himself to you right in here. He wants you to know that you know that you know. So see, God was preparing him to go home. And I realized that. So I told him, I said, when you go to the hospital, they're going to want you to go on life support. Anybody ever heard of anybody delaying God's coming? Trying to delay it as long as possible? Not my brother. He said, no, that's okay. I don't want to go on life support. He said, I want to go ahead and be with mom. And he said, see God. Change had happened to him. Change. Hope had happened to him. The scripture says, if I have hope in this life only, I'm most miserable. He's getting ready to go to glory. Well, anyway, I called the ambulance one day, and they took him to the hospital, and I fired a few doctors that didn't want to do what we requested, just keep him out of pain. And finally, I found one that would say, I'll do whatever you say. I said, keep him out of pain. He won't be with us that long. And then I got my brothers and sisters together, and I said, I want 24/7 around here. I want you to be with him. I worked third shift back then. My shift was when I got off work to go be with him. Somebody come in. They were with him. I left. You know, around the clock. I guess I should have told you. When we were in the emergency room, he was in a coma. And I had already had the talk with him. I think it's one of the most important talks you have to have with your brothers, your sisters, your mom, your dad, your children. He was ready. You have to have that conversation. Don't let it slip through your fingers. While we were in the emergency room, he was in a coma. And I asked my wife, she was in there, and I said, pray that God restore his senses so I can talk to him. So she prayed. I kept a nurse in there so she would witness it. She got done praying. He went like that and woke right up, right in his own senses. I said, you know where you're at? He looked around. I'm at university emergency room. I said, that's where you're at. And I got like this. I said, now, stay right there. I got to go get your sisters, because they wanted to argue with me about a conversation that God induced into me. He brought it into us. So they come in there, and they said, they want to put you on life support. Hear these words. I've already told Clyde, now I'm telling you for the last time. I want to go see mom, and I want to be with God. And as they were crying, he went back into a coma. The nurse looked at me and said, thank you. I said, oh, no, thank you. God wants to impress upon the world his strength, his sovereignty. He is the answer to all of our questions. Doesn't mean you'll like the answer. It just means that there'll be an adjustment in your life. So he lived 3 days, and when I walked in there, I called my sister Pat. Everyone that has been going here knows my sister Pat. That's her brother, too. And I watched him breathe his last two breaths. He had smoked since he was 4 years old. So his lungs were full of charcoal. So when he took his last two breaths, some of it came out his mouth and some of it came out his nose. And I'm talking to Pat, and I'm trying not to say any of this. And she said, what's happening? She's very sensitive in the spirit. I said, nothing. I said, I have to go. I will call you. She said, no, what's happening? I said, I'll call you right back. So I hung up on her, and I hit the button. And I said, if you don't mind, would you come in here? My brother has already passed, and he needs to be cleaned up. I said that because I knew his two sisters were going to come over and see him. Well, anyway, in the meantime, I had this doctor come in. Let's see, if it was 7 years after mom passed, I wasn't 39 yet. I was 38. And she come in there, and she said, I would like to. I looked at her. I said, no, you're not going to do that. She said, but you haven't let me finish my statement. I said, well, let me finish it for you. And the answer is no. You would like to do an autopsy on my brother. She goes, right. I said, I'm the one that's going to be nice to you. I want you to ask my older sister that when she gets here. Anyway, so she said, well, you're awful, 30, I'm not 39. She said, you're awful young. Believe me, I think that was one of the first times I've ever been called that. And I said, that's okay. I said, we know the Lord. He knows God. I said, he's with God at this moment. And I said, it's all in God's hands. I said, that will be no from me. But when my sister gets here, I encourage you to come back. And so she came back. And I hadn't had this conversation with my sister. You got to realize, we had the same mother. Our mother knew the Lord. I heard mom pray when I was a little guy. I've seen her cry tears of joy over an ironing board. And think, as a little kid, mom's hurting. And I asked, are you hurting? She said, oh, no, these are tears of joy. Mothers, all your tears will be dried up and glorify God. Amen? So anyway, so the doctor came in, and she said, that's all she said. My sister said, no, we're not going to let you do that. She said, but you haven't let me finish. She said, well, I'll finish it, and then the answer is still no. You ever heard that before? Anyway, we had the same mother. We had a lot of things alike. Well, anyway, my whole thing to tell you today, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. When my brother raised his hands, he was praising the Lord in the Spirit. In that life that he had gained, not lost, but he came out. And the scripture says, whom the Spirit has set free is free indeed. So I rejoice over that. Now, I'm going to tell you a little bit of just, I'm going to tell you the story. I had tried to talk to people at work to encourage them to quit smoking. because especially after I dealt with my brother. Well, anyway, one of the guys I talked to came to his layout the night before. And he comes up there and he comes up to me and says, "Clyde." I go, "Yeah." He said, "Your brother looks great." My brother had to lose his life to look great. He had to quit breathing to look great. That must have stuck with the guy, because about a week later, he had a wreck in his truck, and him and his little dog that he had rolled down the hill. He crawled back up that hill with his little dog. Could hardly breathe. Came back to work. They didn't give him, he had broken ribs and everything. They didn't give him no break on what he needed to do. And when he came out on the floor, I walked up to him. I go like this: "You just push the buttons. I'll do all the heavy stuff." He was an only child. The goal that God had given me was to be the brother that he never had. Step up to the plate. Be his brother. Well, it wasn't long after that, his dad died. Well, we were working for him for off, and they had him laid out on one of the days we were working. So I got up at 5 o'clock in the morning, worked 6 to 6, took me 30 minutes to get ready, and drove 2.5-3 hours down to Science Hill. On the next day, I had to work. His wife had already told him, "Clyde, Clyde won't be here." He goes, "Oh, he'll be here." So when I pulled him to the parking lot, I looked up, and he had described his wife to perfect. I never had met her. Her name was Jeanette. How could I not remember Jeanette? My mother-in-law's Jeanette. Anyway, and she is smoking, just like he said she would be. And she said, "You have to be Clyde Morgan." Well, I said, "Well, in this case, yes, I do have to be Clyde Morgan." She said, "Will you wait? Listen to what I'm telling you. Will you wait until I finish this cigarette so I can go in and watch my husband cry for the first time in front of his two grown sons?" I said, "Yes, I will." Well, it was about from that door to here. He was at the casket. He turned around, ran to me, put his arms around me, started bawling. You know what the Lord had me do? Put my arms around him, started bawling. His two sons came on each side of us, put their arms around me. They started bawling. Well, at that time in his life, he had a little 3-year-old grandson. And the 3-year-old grandson came over and went like this to me. He said, "You make my grandpa cry." His grandpa looked down to him. "This is a good cry." And then he goes, "It's a good cry." But I've told you all this to tell you. In the spirit, there's no condemnation. He didn't come to condemn the world. He came that they might have life and have it abundantly. In you, the world will see him. In you, we have an awesome opportunity to show forth the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the King of Glory. And you'll get to do it if you want the opportunity to. There's a lot of times people have asked me to pray for their children over the years. If I told you how I prayed for mine and now my grandsons, you might be surprised that they asked me to do that. I tell you one thing, I don't believe they ever knew how I prayed. I said, "Okay, I'm going to pray that the Holy Spirit get on them and not release them until they come to the feet of Jesus." Because I know one thing, none of us can change anybody else. But the Spirit of God, in his mercy and in his grace, does the best job I've ever seen. Amen? So receive the word of the Lord this morning. It is Romans, the 8th chapter and the 1st verse. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And they all said, Amen. Father, I just ask that you have your way here among us. I know that your word does not return empty or void. But, Father, be glorified among us, that, Father, this day we walk in the Spirit of God. And it's not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Anyone wants prayer can come forward. If not, you go have a great day.